Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Wednesday night I mentioned if you know a deserving young man, a small youth that needs a starter bicycle, see me after church, and we'd like for this bicycle to find a good home for a small child that needs a good one. We're today again in identification. I told you that we would be going through this book, and let me double check. Nope, we don't have a minister signed up for chapter 3, but that's where we are today. Huh? You're for 4 and 5. Nope, you're 4, 6, and 8. But if you got something on 3, we will gladly receive. Last fall, I told you there were two books that every believer should have inside them, not in their library, not in their possession, but inside them. The Authority of the Believer by Kenneth E. Hagin, and Identification by E.W. Kenyon. These two books are foundational. Say foundational.
Foundational.
Foundational means they give you structure on which to build your Christian life. And I was going to start a series on wisdom, and the Lord said, no, the foundation needs this before you go to the series on wisdom. Because I believe that our people can walk in wisdom that will allow them to dominate the spheres of influence. Yes. So that you can enter into those spheres of influence and be promoted and become influence generators and change a generation. But you need to know who you are before you start telling other people who they need to be. One of the sad things that occurred to Christianity is the salvation message.
All right, go ahead.
Too many people got saved and didn't get born again. Well, Pastor, what's the difference? You ask Jesus to forgive you your sins, and he says, I do, and then you go to heaven. No, that's a lie of the devil. God never said that he wanted you to ask him to forgive you of your sins. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you will believe in your heart that Yeshua, the Christ, is Lord, if you will believe that in your heart, confess it with your mouth, you'll be born again. It is the confession of his lordship that ushers us into the kingdom. You know, we went through the parade of homes with Holly and her beautiful child, and she never cried like that once. We were out there in the heat for hours, and it never occurred. And I was concerned that she didn't cry, because a couple of those houses, I was crying. I said, man, they could have had something better than this, the parade of homes. Pay $30 to see this. Can I get my money back, or a hot dog or something? But people have been told erroneously, if you'll just confess your sins, Jesus will save you. Well, you're talking for Jesus words he didn't say. Because when we make it about sin, then those people struggle throughout their entire Christian existence trying to get over sinning again. When the Word of God says, that which is born of God sins not. For his seed, Yeshua, remains in you. You see, Jesus, contrary to what some lying preachers tell you, did not go to the cross for your sin. Jesus went to the cross for your sin. And if you had been the only person on the face of the earth with sin, he would have went to the cross for you. Liar. When all of humanity was online, Jesus said to the Father, I don't want to do it. Nevertheless, not my will but yours, because I can't establish lordship for them if I don't exalt lordship in my life. So, Father, your will. That's why Jesus could with a clean conscience say to you, my conscience is clean. I always do the will of the Father. Now, I don't know how many of you have had a fine machine. out on the road. But when my son graduated from high school, he got a turbocharged TSI. And we could get to Waco like that because it would cruise at 140 miles an hour. I mean, that sucker had tires like this on the back of it. He hit a curb with one of them once. Cost me a grand just to put one wheel and tire on it. And that was in the 80s, when a grand was a lot of money for one wheel and tire. But I want you to listen to me. I know what it is to do 140 miles an hour, but I can't run that fast. I know what it is to cling. You don't ride a Triumph at 120 miles an hour. I know what it is to cling to the handlebars and hold on, hoping I've gone long enough that everybody saw I did it so I could turn that throttle down, because if my teeth chatter anymore, I'm going to fall off of this thing. But I wanted to use the car instance because I've been 140 miles an hour in a car. And I am the righteousness of God. You see, I don't have to run 140 miles an hour if I'm in a car that can do it. Oh, church, come on. I want you to understand the identification. I don't have to be perfect if I am resident in perfection. And too many people got forgiven of their sins, and they battle their entire life trying to conquer sin when you can't. I want to let you in on a little something. You know all the people you see at church that look, you know, sinless and holy and perfect? If you saw them outside of who they're riding in, you wouldn't see perfection. You see, I'm riding with the King, and it ain't BB. And I'm seated in Him at the right hand of God, so everything He achieved, I get credit for. Now, if I'm only forgiven, then I'm only as good as my next failure. Because my good leaves when I fail again. And so if you came to God through asking Him to forgive you of your sins, there's a part of the victorious Christian life you haven't experienced yet. But when you come to Him and you say, I confess with my mouth because I believe in my heart that the Messiah, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, took my place in the trial, the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection that I should have had to go through, but I never will because I'm in Him and I identify with His success, not my failure. Because people who only got forgiven of their sins only feel good until they blow it the next time. And church, in the last 50 years, I can't tell you how many people I've had to sit with who said, God doesn't love me anymore. I feel so guilty. He saved me. He forgave me my sins. And I went right back and did it again. And because they only got forgiven of sins, they didn't receive entrance into the lordship of the Yeshua HaMashiach of God. They didn't realize they were seated with Him. They walked around forgiven until they blew it again. Now I got to do it all over. No, you don't do it all over. His grace is sufficient for every need. What you do is press further into finding out who you are. Because until you know who you are, you can't be who He's called you to be. And some people misunderstand when I say that the gospel of salvation is a heinous blotch on the body of Christ. And they get all upset because, well, the salvation gospel. No, no, there isn't a salvation gospel. It's something the church made up. If you'll confess your sins and ask Jesus to forgive you, He'll come into your heart. What a heinous thing to tell somebody who God sent his son to die in their place that they could become who he is. Not a forgiven sinner, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know what holds most people in bondage? Their mind has never been renewed to the truth of the New Testament because they're afraid to find out too much because I might be responsible for more. But you see, the more I learn of God, the more I learn I'm not responsible for anything except to believe it. Joshua didn't stand at the gate to the promised land going, "You got any sin in your life?" No. God won a victory for us. Last one in has to close the door. Identification, chapter 3. If you'll turn to the last page of your notes. Pastor, are you going to read all of that? Yes. And hopefully you're reading it with me. In the great drama of our redemption, as soon as Christ was nailed to the cross with his crown of thorns and with the howling mob that surrounded him, justice began to do its awful work behind the scenes. Sense knowledge, people who are moved by what they see, hear, feel, touch, smell, sense knowledge men and women who surrounded the cross could only see the physical man, Jesus, hanging there. God could see his spirit. Angels could see his spirit. Demons could see the real man hidden in that body. Then came the dreadful hour when 2 Corinthians 5:21 was fulfilled. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Him who knew no sin, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, God made to be sin on our behalf, not to be partaker in our sins, but to be sin itself, separation from God, that we might become the righteous of God in him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Do you know what iniquities are? You know what sin is? That's something you commit. You know what transgression is? That's when you violate God's law. Do you know what iniquity is? Iniquity is when there is an area of your life you won't turn loose of. Pastor Jim, I've asked God to forgive me of everything, but Aunt Harriet, I cannot forgive that woman. It becomes something that you're in, iniquity. You're in an area that you can't forgive and turn loose of. You mean he took for me what I can't even get over myself? Yes, your guilt, your sins, your transgressions, your iniquity. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. What does that mean, Pastor? The chastisement of our peace. The price necessary for you to be at peace with God. So there's nothing between you and God. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Jehovah has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The things we couldn't get over, he got over for us. On that awful cross, he not only became sin, but he became a curse. For in Galatians 3:13, it tells us, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The word us there refers to the Jews. He came as a Jew under the first covenant to redeem all those who were under that covenant from the curse of the law. When he was hanging on the cross, he was not only sin, but he was a curse. Is it any wonder that God turned his back upon him? Is it any wonder he cried in his agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had taken the sinner's place in judgment. All the forces of darkness had overwhelmed him. He was our sin substitute. Sin was not reckoned to him. Sin was not set to his account. He became sin. He became one with sin so that we could be one with righteousness. Our senses reel under the staggering thought of it. We cannot grasp it. Only our spirits can fathom the depths of his agony. You can hear Paul cry, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death. Paul's prayer amazes one. He wanted to share in the death agonies of Christ. He wanted to fellowship his sufferings. But Paul could not do that. No one could do it. No angel could do it. It was God's own work that must be wrought. When he surrendered his son to death, he unveiled a love that beggars description. Colossians 3:15 says, let or allow the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts. Suzanne, I think of all the believers who have a problem with lack and debt and think it's their station in life. Judith, I have a problem with people who go to church and yet can't seem to grab their healing. Or they go to church and they will say, you know, the only time I feel peace in my life is when the praise team is praising and everybody's worshiping and I sense God's presence, and for that moment I have peace. And I hurt for those people because they've been lied to. They haven't been told the truth. When you learn the truth that I was judged with him, I was crucified with him, I was buried with him, I went through the torment of hell for 3 days with him, and I was resurrected with him, and I am seated together with him in heavenly places, then Satan's ability to beat you leaves. But Pastor, I don't feel like I've done enough. If I walked by and said, I got too much money, I just can't deal with it anymore, I'm going to put $100,000 in your checking account, just give me a deposit slip, and you sit around waiting, wondering, did he do it? Was he honest? Was he true? Did he do it? And so finally, you can't take it anymore. You slip over to the computer. You pull up your account. You run down, and there's $100,000 in your account. Do you go, I'm not worthy? He didn't know all that I've done in my life. If he had really known all that I've done, he wouldn't have done that. Or would you go, happy days are here again? I don't care if you got a broke leg, you into the happy dance. And you instantly think of all of the things you have denied yourself because you couldn't afford them. Now a few of them you can afford. Because, honey, if you imagine like me, $100,000, that don't scratch the surface. But you see, with money, there's never enough. When I started work at 50 cents an hour. And I worked for about 3 years at 50 cents an hour, and I worked my way up. Finally, I got to $5 an hour, and I thought, the kid is in the chips. And I dreamed of the day. Day's coming, I'm going to make $100 a week. Now, some of y'all can't imagine this because you didn't grow up in the dark ages like I did. But I got to $100 a week. And you know what I found out when I got to $100 a week? I started thinking about $500 a week. Then $1,000. And I thought, if I could ever get to the point I could make $1,000 a week, I'd be a king. I mean, what can't you do with $1,000 a week? I remember the first time I made $300,000 one year, I thought, I finally made the upper 2% of wage earners in the nation. But I can tell you this, you can't make enough money to satisfy your need. I know people who have $1 million and people who have $50 million. I know people who are millionaires, and they're still wanting more, because there's only one place that you can get where you don't want more, and that's when you've achieved perfection. And spiritually, it's as simple as confessing his lordship and identifying with the fact I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, there are some people who in church, they'll mouth it, but they won't actually say the words because they're afraid lightning will strike them down. I mean, I know I'm in church and everybody's here and everybody else is saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but I ain't saying that. But if them words come out of my mouth, I'm dead meat. Greasy spot right there on the carpet. They'll never get it out. For God so loved the world that he gave his son to take your place so that you could take his place at the right hand of God. You see, God started out with a perfect man. Adam could walk with God, could talk with God. They could stroll together in the cool of the day and converse. Can you imagine conversing on a God level? I mean, there are some people that you know, I'd love to have met Einstein. What would you talk about? He goes, you know, I've been thinking all week about this theory of relativity, and you're going, huh? But you see, it was foreign to people when he first gave the theory of relativity. But when they began to check, they found out that a whole lot of the laws of physics and science were not accurate because they had to be changed to the law of relativity. Now we found out that his law didn't go far enough. And while some people are still beggared by relativity, man, I can't even do the math, let alone realize what it does to laws of science. And then we find out there's more than that, that he was off a little bit in his calculations. Because now that we've got computers, they think in ways he didn't. And they're able to analyze his data and go, he was close. But it's even more than that. I'm here today to tell you that salvation is even more than that. Yes, he forgave me. But now everything in my life has to change to new relativity. I'm a relative of God. Earlier we sang the song, I'm a son of God. It was written in the Christian community as, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of... I'm not a friend of God. I'm an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. I'm a son of God. I am born of God. So this law of relativity means, wait a minute, if I'm a son of God, I shouldn't live sick. If I'm a son of God, I shouldn't live broke. You see, while some people are trying not to learn more about God because they're afraid, in this city, 37, 38 years ago, I was teaching the adult Bible class in a certain church in this town, which will go unmentioned. But I was teaching the adult Bible class, and the pastor's brother taught every other Sunday because the pastor's brother worked for Exxon, and so every other week he was on an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico, so he would come back. And I was teaching one Sunday, and he happened to be on vacation, and he was there. And I talked about the more you know of God, the more you're required to know. Next week he taught his lesson. He said, I heard Brother Jim last week and I've decided I'm not going to study anymore because I'm already to a point I can't do everything I know now, so I'm not going to learn anymore. And I realized my days are over at this church. Because that's the pastor's brother. I can't come against that, but he's a fool. But if the devil has lied to you and told you, don't study that new covenant too much. You see, you're a new covenant believer, not an Old Testament. You're a New Testament. The old will has been superseded by the new will. In 2004, when my father died, I didn't want to know about the will he had made out before we were born. I didn't want to know about the will he had made out when we were children. I wanted the latest will he had made out because I wanted to know the division of assets. And yes, the Old Testament is good, but it don't belong to you. The New Covenant is yours. And the more I read into it, the more I find out who I am, what belongs to me. I found out that I don't have to be sick. And, hon, after you've died two or three times, you find out that it's not all it's cracked up to be. But I've been brought back from the dead. And many of you here know the stories of what God did. I've gone through lung failure, kidney failure, liver failure, thyroid failure, congestive heart failure. I've gone through all of those. None of them's worth the trip. Don't go there. They've got better hotels than you can find in hospitals. I've had their best rooms, and they stink. But I found this. My God was faithful. And no matter what the doctors said, and when I go back and the doctors to the hospitals and the doctors tell me there's no medical reason for you to be alive, and I go, I don't need a medical reason. I have a promise. With his stripes, I was made whole. I don't need a banker to tell me that my God supplies all of my need. There's not enough debt in the world to keep me down. Because my God supplies all of my need. So identification is the story of learning what you are now entitled to because of the will that has been released because of the death. But this will is great. When my father died, he wasn't there to show me how to pursue. But we have one who died to qualify us and then was raised from the dead to lead us into the new life we now have. Amen. Having read chapter 3, the natural mind is challenged to comprehend what God did to right the wrong Adam had perpetrated. The man Yeshua, anointed by Jehovah, Lord of hosts, God of all creation, was sent to identify with fallen man in a great exchange of identities. He came to be what we were, so we could be raised with him to be what he is now. That's so much better than being forgiven of your sins. He did not commit sin, but he became sin when he identified fully with the fallen state of the human race. He clothed himself with our state so that in his resurrection and our faith in it, we could clothe ourselves with his right standing. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Yeshua HaMashiach. Even we have believed in Yeshua HaMashiach, that we might be justified by the faith of the anointed, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You can't do enough good to qualify. Amen. You can't do enough good to make up. There's only one atonement, and he did it. Well, Pastor, I feel like I've got to do some good to make up for all the wrong I've done. No, no, no. You've got to learn how good you are so you can live that and other people can watch it. Somebody is watching your life. It may be a friend, a co-worker, a relative. Somebody is watching your life. And the life that you lead is the word they need to draw them to that place of receiving his lordship. I don't want people to get saved. I want people to be born again. Jesus didn't say to Nicodemus, Jew boy, you need to get saved. He said, you must be born again. The natural birth gives you a natural mindset. The spiritual birth gives you a spiritual mindset. The natural birth qualifies you to walk in earth. The spiritual birth qualifies you to walk in heaven. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the anointing lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What does it mean to live by the faith of the Son of God? That phrase occurs twice in Galatians chapter 2 with great importance and great impact on the faith of the Son of God. What does that mean? He went to the cross believing that you would receive the new identity when there was no guarantee that anyone would. So if he entered into eternity in faith that you would enter into his new eternity, then what's the problem of simply believing that he did enough to make me one with him? I don't want to get rid of sin. I want to get into the inner circle of God's holy family. Because there, sin can't come and accuse me. There, sin cannot come and judge me. Their guilt can't overtake me. For people who have not become one with identity in Christ, guilt dogs in their whole Christian experience. Every time they say a shucky darn or get mad or lose their temper, talk about the pastor, horrible guilt overtakes them. Why? Because they don't understand if I'm one with him, sin can't stick to me. You see, when you're one with him, you get Teflon coating. Why? Because I am in him, failure can't reach me. You remember when you was kids and you used to, you know, you'd throw rocks at the neighbor kid and then you'd run home? Why'd you run home? Because you knew in there, there was an authority greater than you and an authority greater than them, and if you could get in the house, you were safe. I mean, Napoleon's worse. He'd run up and smack him and then run home. Why? In your young mind, you knew that if I could get in, if I could get in where authority was, bad couldn't get me. Now we come to church. Oh, I don't want to be forgiven. I don't want to get saved. Rudy, I want to be born again. I want to identify with the risen Lord because he conquered sin. Well, Pastor, he atoned for our sin. No. He didn't atone for your sins. Your sins were atoned for in his victory. But saying he atoned for your sins short circuits what he did for you. He didn't atone for my sin. He put sin away. So when I read, he which is born of God sins not, that doesn't mean you don't say shucky darn, because you know you do. Somebody slams one of their brakes in front of you, it's not, blessed be the name of the Lord. You may abbreviate WTF, but we know what you're thinking. But you see, if I'm in him, his Teflon coating covers me, and it can't stick. There's therefore now no condemnation. But Pastor, I messed up. Yeah, but I'm seated with him, so in the house, it can't get to me. You see, people who get saved don't get a clean conscience. Because, you see, they've only been forgiven for what's up to here. Right. Now I got to... But you see, if you are only saved, you got it covered up to there. But from now on, I still got to deal with who I am and my fallen nature and all that while I'm renewing my mind to think different. I tell people, once you get your mind renewed, sin can't stick to you, and they don't get it. Well, Pastor, I'm so busy, you know, earning a living, working, doing all that. Fine, you find time to do what you want to do. I was at church when we first began, the first building, when we first started. Someone came to me after church, and we didn't even receive offerings those days. We just had a box at the back, and I would tell people, if you want to be a part of this ministry, there's a box at the back. Do what God lays on your heart. And this person came to me and they shook my hand. They said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me that I'll have something to give next week because I didn't have anything to put in the box. And I said, okay. And he walks not as far from here to over where Brother David is, and I hear him invite six people out for ice cream. And he says, I'm buying. I'm taking my prayer back. I'm not praying for you to have money to give. You got money. But the problem is also money got you, because you can take six people out for ice cream, but you can't put something in the box, then what people think of you is more important to you than what God thinks of you. In Him I live. In Him I move. In Him I have my being. What does that mean? It means I can say to the devil, nah, 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 you can't get me. You know, like the little kid standing in the window of the house with the door locked and bolted. Nah, 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 you can't get me. Why? In Him. Church, if you got saved, go back to your knees and say, Father, forgive me because I missed out on the best part. I don't want to just be forgiven of my sins. I want to be one with your Son in His triumph. I want to be seated at your right hand where guilt can't plague my mind anymore, where condemnation can't grip my gut and make me unable to sleep at night because of what I know about me. I want to know what you know about me. And you know that all of my wrong was put on Him so that all of His right could be put on me. We miss something in the New Testament, and we'll get to it in a minute. I wanted to jump into it there, but I was constrained. Knowing that man is not justified by works of the law, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not have any fun. But the faith of Yeshua HaMashiach, even we have believed in Yeshua HaMashiach that we might be justified by the faith of the anointed and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I'm not brought into right standing with God because I don't do wrong. I'm brought into right standing with God because I believe He did it all for me. Adam committed a spiritual treason in a physical act. Yeshua yielded to a physical act that empowered a spiritual truth, our new birth, our new life in Him. But now the Anointed One has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep in faith. For since it was through a man that death came into the world, Adam, by a man, Yeshua, also would resurrection from the dead have to come. For to those of Adam's line, if you're of Adam's bloodline, death comes to all. So also to those who are of the anointed Redeemer's bloodline, the new bloodline, the bloodline that you received in identification, not in asking Him to forgive you of your sins, will be made alive. Their faith in His faith makes them alive. You did it for me, so I don't have to do it for myself. What you did is more than enough for me and everybody. But now the Anointed One has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep in faith. The first fruits. Well, you're one of the fruits. He was the first. Because we have been reconciled to the Anointed Redeemer through faith in His life, we recognize that sin came into the world through the sinful act of unbelief in one man. Death then spread to all men who were born of His bloodline. And by faith, life spreads to all those who receive His Lordship in a new bloodline. If it were possible for sin to enter earth through the act of transgression, disobedience of one man, and death was empowered to reign over all his seed because of that one faithless act or failure, to an even greater extent shall the abundance of grace be meted out to those who receive the gift of right standing with God. Not forgiveness of sin, right standing with God. And they shall reign in life as kings and priests through their union with the one Redeemer anointed of God, Yeshua HaMashiach. The firstborn of the dead left a bloodline of death and bondage. Adam was born again from life to death. The firstborn of life from the dead opened a bloodline of life and health and freedom and prosperity, the rebirth of a holy race in him. Say this with me. I am.
A new race
of being.
I'm of the holy race.
The redeemed of the Lord.
I am.
The righteousness of God.
In
Christ Jesus.
Not in my behavior.
But in his triumph. In the economy of God, he begins with a man, and all flows out of that man, Adam. A people, a race, a kingdom. Adam blows it, so everything that's to flow out of him is damned with his failure. Everybody will have their defining root in one or the other, in Adam or in Yeshua. Good in life will beget good in life. Evil in death begets evil in death. You are what you are born of. So I was born the first time of the bloodline of Adam, and sin was upon me by birth. By receiving the lordship of the Yeshua HaMashiach and accepting his lordship and becoming one with him, I am born of life unto godliness and no longer of death unto destruction. I got a question for you. Who's your daddy? Oh, church. Who's your daddy? Jehovah, Lord of hosts. I am seated at his right hand in the anointed Redeemer because I receive his victory as my victory. God the Father, in his great love, gave a new bloodline and the freedom to choose what family tree you can call your own. At the great exchange, the sinless Son of God traded places with the human race. Since he was sinless, Teflon, so to speak, our failure could not stick to him when life came to call. He became sin, allowed himself to be clothed with our sin, our failure, our sickness, our disease, our poverty, our disobedience, our faithlessness. Because when we were faithless, he remained faithful. So we could be, by faith in his finished work, be clothed with his righteousness. Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh as to its desires and craving. Sense level contamination. What does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? You understand when somebody says, oh, that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. But do you understand when somebody says, that's a human clothed with Christ? Because they didn't get saved, they got born again. When they got up, they put on not just a robe of righteousness, but a garment of Christ. You see, a robe of righteousness lets your feet and head stick out. Being clothed with him, he is the full representation of who you are. So you can't see my ugly face and ugly feet. All you can see is him in the realm of the Spirit. What does it mean to be clothed with Christ? That means ain't none of me showing, only him. For all of you, because if I could see your behavior, then I'd know you as just scamming me. If I could see your past, I'd know you were. But you see, in his resurrection, he dealt with all of it, so when I am clothed with him, nothing of me remains. For all of you were immersed, baptized into the anointed Redeemer. When you did that, you have clothed yourself with the anointing, with Christ. I've taught you for years that water baptism is so much more than a ritual of joining the church or saying I'm a part of that Christian club. Water baptism says I step into the water by choice. And I step into this water to identify with Him, yielding Himself. And when the minister takes me and puts me under the water, it's just like the Lord Jesus Christ being taken by another and put into death. When the water comes over me, it's symbolic of I'm identifying with His death. And when that minister lifts me out of the water, it's symbolic with His resurrection. If that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead dwell in me, it'll raise me to that newness of life where I'm clothed with Christ. No, I didn't get saved. I got born again. Because there are people who got saved. There's a story of a person who was saved from a wreck. The paramedics got there just in time. They began to put life support systems on them. They had them on oxygen. They had them on treatment. They put them in an ambulance. And the ambulance on the way to the hospital was hit by another drunk driver. They were saved, but they didn't make it to the hospital. They were pronounced dead at the scene of the second accident. Now, I didn't get saved. I got eternal life. I identified with, I am clothed with Christ. It is no longer me that's living this life, but I'm learning to follow the dictates that He gave. For all of you who were baptized into the anointed Redeemer, have clothed yourself. When I went through water baptism, I was telling the devil and the Father God and all the witnesses, I am now one with His triumph. I have joined Him in death, burial, and resurrection. I am one with Him. I have a new identity. For you are all sons of God through faith in the anointed Redeemer. Faith to believe, faith to receive, faith to reign in life as kings and priests unto God. I'm about to leave you, but Colossians chapter 1, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Who qualified you? Well, Pastor, I don't feel I've lived good enough. I've done enough. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I was qualified by God. Stop finding fault with me. That's not just me talking. That's you talking to everybody. I was qualified by God. You don't have a right to find fault with me. I'm in Daddy's house. Nah, 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 nah. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And I'm in the second, third, fourth, fifth, somewhere born. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. So therefore, everything is under Him, and I am in Him, so it's under me. It's under my feet. It's under my feet. For by Him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, physical or spiritual, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, ain't nothing big enough to touch me because I'm in Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. I have first place in everything. Do you know what it means to identify with Him? Church, please listen to me. Do you know what it means to identify with His death, burial, and resurrection, to identify with Him seated at the right hand of God? It means I have a clean conscience. Paul wrote about a purified conscience, a clean conscience. Here's what a clean conscience means. The blood washed me from all unrighteousness, past, present, and future. And if I can escape the religious bondage of being saved and embrace the new covenant truth of being identified with Him in the new birth, the old me that used to be that died. I've got a clean conscience now, not because I've never done anything wrong, but because it can't stick to me. And Jesus said, "And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing unto Him. I am in Him, and He is in me. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the anointed Redeemer." That's removal of guilt. The disintegration that separates people from the victorious life is what? Guilt, condemnation, what they know about themselves. And some religious idiots want to know, just come on, brother, confess everything you've ever done wrong. Get up and run from that fool. He wants to live vicariously through what you did. Any person that says to you, bare your heart, just tell everything that you did wrong, they don't know your God. Because for you to speak of it is to relive it. You know how you... I remember the time. And with that memory, all the sensations and everything about it. No. God doesn't want to hear what the devil has done in your life. He wants to hear you say what God has done in your life. I believe that Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, the Yeshua HaMashiach of God, is Lord. That He went to the cross and paid the price for everybody's sin, everybody's failure, everybody's sickness, everybody's disease, everybody's poverty. And He was raised from the dead, triumphing over all that mess. And I have a clean conscience because I'm in Him. Not because I've done everything right, but because I've received everything right. Amen. I've got a promise. Everything's going to be all right. Removal from guilt. The disintegration of standing. Regret. Part of being born again is I get a clean conscience. Well, I remember you. Well, that's you and the devil that remembers, but me and God don't. You just told me whose side you're on. Do you know why I don't want to tell you anything that Raymond's done wrong? Because when I tell you what he's done wrong, I am sharing the devil's testimony against him, and I'm sowing a seed of somebody uncovering me. And religious, you know how church ladies are. Well, let me tell you about her. I don't want to hang out with church ladies. Church ladies stink. Not to high heaven, to lowly hell. Hon, nobody has a right to judge you. Well, Pastor, we just let everybody do everything. What's going to happen to the church? There are rules for leadership and eldership in the church. But understand this. The gospel, according to the prophet Bill Cosby. Noah. How long can you tread water? I'm asking you. Donnie, how long can you tread water? You see, if we're going to uncover other people, we're going to be uncovered. And then we got to tread water to make it, because you can't tread water long enough to survive. So what you got to do is get in the boat, join the float, and it don't matter. And when the float's over, you may go get drunk. But you see, he was in. And his son that made fun of him for getting drunk and exposed his nakedness got cast out, because God's not looking for finger pointers. He's looking for hand raisers. Will you lift your brother's hands up? Will you, from the boat, help them stop treading water and get in? God's not looking for a people who are saved. He's looking for a people who are born again, who have got a new mindset. I don't have to do it all. He did it all for me. But because he did it all, I'm going to try and be better than I was. Because being a new creation, I don't want to drag that dead corpse with me. You go to the hospital and you get a transplant and they give you a new heart. You say to the doctor, "Doc, can I have that old heart? I'd like to keep it with me to remind me of where I used to be." Are you kidding me? You know that thing's going to start deteriorating and stinking, and I don't need the old heart because when I came to God, I got a new me. I got a new me. I got removal from guilt, from the disintegration of my character and nature. I got rid of regret. I got a clean conscience. I am in Him. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge. You see, now that I identify with Him, I've got to study the New Testament to find out what I got. My wife got a new car, and she said, "How do I program the radio?" And I said, "What, you're asking me? I drive a Ford. You want to know how to program that Infiniti? There's a book in the glove box. Get the book out of the glove box, turn to the section that says programming the radio, and then you can download all your CDs to the radio because it'll tell you how to download all of that so it's in your computer now and you've got all that and you don't have to carry around all that plastic. You just push a button." But you see, she had to read the book to find out what belonged to her. Oh, the day I handed the dealership the check, it was her car. But she couldn't benefit from all that she had until she read the book to find out what she had. Because you touch the radio and it says, "My CDs." Well, what do you mean, "my CDs"? What does that mean? It means that if you'll read the book, it'll tell you how you can put all your CDs in there, and it'll hold 50 of your CDs, so you have all that music anytime with you, but you got to read the book to find out what you own. I own what's in this book because I didn't get saved. I got born again. I came into the family, and this is the family legacy. This is the family ownership manual. This is the family. As He is, so am I in the world. But if I haven't read the book, I don't know how to program myself to be who I be, to do what I can do, to have what I can have, to rise above the crap. Yes, He said that right in church, and God was looking. And you know you would have said it if nobody was watching. "Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and you have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge," as you read the book, the New Testament, "according to the image of the one who created him." Pastor, what does that mean? It means the more of this I read, the more I can be like him because the more I know of him. Renewed, made new. Brother Roger, you said you had some things from chapter 3 you wanted to share. Brother Roger is going to share a couple of things that are in his heart from chapter 3. And I'm going to ask you to do something with me. I'm not going to ask you, did you get saved or did you get born again? I'm not going to ask you, have you made Jesus Christ, the Yeshua HaMashiach of God, our Messiah, have you made Him Lord of your life so you can be one with Him in eternity, not just today? I'm not going to ask you those questions. I'm going to ask all of you, for the sake of those who are here who may not have, to pray with me that prayer that receives Him as Lord and what He did, because I want the assurance that we're all family, that we're all redeemed, that we all have the same mindset as He is, so are we in the earth. I am the healed of the Lord. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm the prosper of the Lord. I'm the blessed Lord. I'm a son of God, an heir and joint heir with Christ Jesus. And devil, you can't do nothing about it. There ain't enough sin in the world to drag me down because I've been elevated and I'm seated in the house.
Na, 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 na.
I want you all to join me in that prayer, Brother Roger.
Pastor pretty much covered everything that I was going to say this morning, but I would just add this. This is a classroom. This is the textbook. The other textbook is the Word of God. What's in chapter 3 is the beginning of what we call the good news. We're supposed to preach and teach this good news. Very few Christians know what the good news is. They think the good news is Jesus saves. That's not the good news. The good news is that we have been redeemed. As Pastor said, we're a new creation. The good news is that we have been forgiven of all sin, not just the sin we're going to commit tomorrow or today that we have to reconfess and reconfess and reconfess. I spent a lifetime doing that. I was raised in a church that required me to go to confession every Saturday. And the emphasis was on sin. But the emphasis cannot be on sin. The emphasis is on redemption. We have been redeemed from sin. And once we realize that we have been redeemed from sin and we see others struggling in their life with what we call sin, we have the power and the ability to go to them and give them this good news. That if you know in your heart that you're a born-again believer, then we have that responsibility to give that to someone else and help them. But if we're just going to go get them saved, they're going to be in the same mess they were in yesterday. So chapter 3 is the beginning of the good news. Chapter 4 is more good news. It's going to be about how you stay healthy and whole. But you're equipped to do that. And that's what I got out of chapter 3.
May I help you into a new realm? And you say, well, Pastor, I've already made Jesus Lord of my life. Then for the sake of those that are here, let them hear your enunciation of that lordship in your life. But whether you've ever made him Lord of your life or whether you've only asked him to forgive you of your sins, allow me to lead you in this prayer together. Father God, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, I come to you to receive newness of life. I surrender to you all that I was so I can become all that you've called me to be. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that your Son, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth, went to judgment for me, went to the cross for me, went to the grave for me, went to hell for me, and was raised from the dead to show forth your glory and your lordship over everything that put him on the cross. Because he is free, I am free. Because he is seated, I am seated. Because he is your Son, I am now your Son in him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Nevermore will guilt, condemnation, fear, doubt, unbelief, Hold me captive. I am your child. You are my Father. And I confess that Jesus is Lord over all and for my all. Father, I call this people blessed. I set the name and the blood of the Yeshua HaMashiach of God upon them. And I decree they are born again. They are set free. They are now learning to identify with this new life that is in them. They are clothed with your anointed Son. And they are seated at your right hand. And nothing shall by any means harm them. I proclaim they're blessed in the city. They're blessed in the field. They're blessed in the basket. They're blessed in the store. They're blessed going out. They're blessed coming in. And this week, I release supernatural blessings of a notable and noticeable state in their life that confirm your goodness to them and your lordship being made manifest in lifting them above where they were before this day. Father, I called and blessed in whom the Lord is blessed. None can curse. God bless you. God keep you. Go with God. See you Wednesday night. Who knows? I may sing country western again. Yeah, fat chance.